Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Before I read my text in the book of Proverbs, let me, by way of introduction, say the Bible is replete with admonishments as to the importance and necessity of a thankful spirit. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 107, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 147, 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 7. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is just a handful of the verses that we could read admonishing us to be thankful and to have a thankful spirit. Truth be known, a thankless spirit is the root cause of most sins. I'll say that again. A thankless spirit is the root cause of most sins. Pride is the result of thanklessness. Arrogance is the result of thanklessness. Bitterness, jealousy, hatred, discord, animosity, etc., etc., all stem from thanklessness. But I want you to notice the importance of thankfulness in the passage in Proverbs. I'm referencing Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. This verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word vision means truth preaching. Let me read John Gill's comments on this passage. That is no prophecy where there is no vision. No prophecy, which is often the sense of the word, as the vision of Isaiah is the prophecy of Isaiah, and in the New Testament, prophesying is often put for preaching. The prophets who received the Word of God had the vision of the Word of God. We who preach the Word of God are preaching forth that prophecy or that vision that was received by the prophets and the apostles of the testaments. That's why he says, in the New Testament, prophesying is often put for preaching, and here vision or prophecy signifies the public ministering of the word. No expounder. This was the case in the latter end of Eli's life. Without a vision, without a truth-telling preacher, prophet, evangelist, minister, the people perish. And he was saying this was the case at the end of Eli's life. The prophets of God were not there. There was no prophecy, no vision from the Lord, no truthful preaching to the people. When there's no truthful preaching, people perish. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, 1 Samuel 3:1, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Precious meaning scarce or rare. It was so rare to have a true prophet preaching the true word of God, it was called precious, rare, almost extinct. When something is that rare, it becomes that much more precious. And that was referred to the word of God being preached, or the lack thereof, being precious. There was no open vision. God had cut forth the visions, the prophecies that he gave to his prophets as a judgment upon the people. And as a result, people were perishing because the truth was not being told. Same thing happened in Asa's time. 2 Chronicles 15:3. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. For a long time, the people of Israel did not have a true teaching priest. The law of the Lord was not taught to them. And so there was this dearth of true preaching at that time. In the Babylonian captivity, it happened again. Ezekiel 7:27. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall come upon rumor. Boy, that's what we have going on today. Mischief upon mischief, rumor upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest and counsel from the ancients. They will not have that teaching priest. They will not have that prophet with a vision of God to give to the people the word of God. The absence of truth preaching was a curse of God upon the nation of Israel. In the times of Antiochus, it happened again. Psalm 74:9. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. The conclusion of all that is twofold. Number one, some are perishing because there is no truth preaching. Number two, some are perishing because they have rejected truth preaching. In the United States, number two came first, and then number one followed. People are perishing because they have rejected truth preaching. All over America, the people of this country have turned their backs to the truth of the Word of God. Look at the largest churches in America, and what do you see? Fallacy, fraud, frivolity. You see false doctrine, false teaching, hirelings in the pulpit, snake oil salesmen, chief executive officers, businessmen. You see an absence of true preaching from God's holy word. The fact is, if the Christians of America, so-called, and I believe that what we are witnessing in America today is a huge false professing church. I think the average church in America today is compiled of mostly unsaved people. They're religious, but they're as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. People that are truly saved have the Holy Spirit of God in them. And the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus said in the book of John, will guide us into all truth. Brother, if you're not being guided into truth, the Holy Spirit is not in you. How can people flock by the tens of thousands to these charlatan preachers? How can they fill up basketball stadiums? The largest auditoriums in the community will be comprised of these false prophets. You find a true man of God, a real man of God, preaching the real word of God, and look at his congregation. Most of them, 100 people or less. How is that? If we have a heart for truth, we should be turning our backs on these false prophets, and we should be embracing the truth tellers behind the pulpits. I know it's happening to a degree. I know that there are many people that are beginning to see the lack of truth in these so-called churches that spot our country. But far too many are content to stay in that social institution. They want the programs. They want the entertainment. They want the show. They want the smoke and mirrors. They want all of the activities that can be afforded. The average church in America today is a glorified social club with a little bit of religion thrown in just to make you feel like you're doing something for God. The real hard truth of the Word of God is not being spoken from the pulpit in the vast majority of these churches. And like I said, with the pastors that are preaching them, what kind of congregations do they have? When we look for the root cause of the problems of America, it's really not these false pastors that are preaching this false doctrine. It's not their fault. It's the people's fault for allowing them to be so successful and ignoring the real man of God down the street that's pouring his heart out and paying a price to try to tell people the truth. They're perishing because they've rejected truth preaching, and as a result of that, God sees their hearts and he takes away the truth teller. So God has taken away from America the truth tellers. The abundance of truth tellers are gone. There was a time when America had an abundance of truth tellers because the American people, the Christians of America, wanted the truth. And they supported the truth. But now, they've turned their back on the truth, and God has taken away the truth tellers. Which came first? The lack of the truth teller? Or the hard hearts of the people who rejected the truth when they had it? When they had it, they didn't accept it. And as a result, God took it away from them. And that's exactly where we are in America today. God is taking away the truth tellers because the people, especially the so-called Christians, have already proven to God they will not accept a truth teller. We need to have a thankful vision. of the past. I'm going to say some things in this segment that need to be said so desperately. America's founders risked their lives, their fortunes, everything they had, their families, for a new land of liberty and hope. A land of religious and individual liberty. A land of justice for all under the law. A land of peace and righteousness. They gave everything they had to bring this free nation into existence. A nation whose founding documents honor the liberty principles of both natural and revealed law. Today, America's founding fathers are being maligned and denigrated from both the left and the right. We understand why the left would denigrate America's founding fathers, because they openly reject the liberty principles upon which America was founded. They want to turn America from its historic roots of liberty and turn it into a socialist slash fascist slash totalitarian form of government. They want that. So naturally, they would impugn and denigrate the founding fathers of our country. But the right, so-called Christians, so-called patriots, are criticizing, maligning, disparaging our founding fathers to beat the band. I have never seen anything like it in my entire life, where the founding fathers of this nation are being so denigrated by every segment of society, the left and the right, the religious and the irreligious, the Christian and the pagan. Ask the typical evangelical pastor to give you his thoughts on George Washington, Patrick Henry, Sam Adams, Ben Franklin, the great men who birthed this country under God. Ask them to give you his interpretation, his commentary on the founding fathers. And if they are honest enough to answer you, it'll be, at very best, a cavalier indifferent. Well, you know, most of these preachers, they're such good politicians. They really are. The best politicians in the world are not in Congress. The best politicians in the world are behind the pulpits. I'm serious. You ask them about these great men of our country's heritage history, and they'll say, well, you know, they weren't perfect. Seriously, that's what most of them will tell you. If they don't come right out and tell you that they think they're a bunch of godless rebels that had no right to sign a Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. If they're honest with you, they'll come out and tell you that they were antichrist and they shouldn't have done what they did and we shouldn't have broke free, we shouldn't have fought the revolution. If they were honest, that's what they would tell you. But they don't want to be honest because they know that that's what people want to hear. So they'll say that, well, you know, bless their hearts. They weren't perfect. No, they weren't perfect. No man is. But they gave us as perfect a form of government and freedom that mankind is capable of. You will not hear me malign the founding fathers. In fact, when I hear Christian people criticizing the founders, it goes all through me. I think to myself, so tell me, what have you sacrificed for liberty? Come on, come on, I'm listening. What have you risked for our constitutional form of government? How many children have you sacrificed on the altar of liberty? How many wives? How many husbands? How many sons? How many daughters? How many mothers and fathers have you sacrificed on the altar of liberty? And you dare to criticize the greatest generation of Christian patriots the world has ever known? You hypocrite! How dare you sit in your comfortable office or bedroom or living room and sit behind your computer screen, hide behind your social media and your internet connection, and you just type away all this diatribe and rant and rave nonsense attacking the men and women who gave you the freedom to sit in your living room and write what you're writing. You ingrate, you unappreciative ingrate. We owe our founding fathers the blessedness of this land that God used them to grant us. Right now we are shipping the freedom documents. Here's what you do. You read what our founders said in these documents. You read for yourself what came from their hearts, what came from their minds. You read the principles, the honor, and the courage, the, dare I say, the majesty of the ideals and the principles that they put into these documents. These are the documents that made America. These are the documents that define America. America is not defined by the politicians. America is not defined by the news media. America is defined by the words and the ideals and the principles of our founding fathers. Read this and then tell me how you're going to sit in judgment over these men and these women and put yourself in a position better than them. You're going to look down your snotty nose at them. Our forefathers faced everything we are facing right now. And they defeated it. Solomon told us there's nothing new under the sun. The mark of the beast that we face under Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And those of you that want to blame everything on Joe Biden and then leave out Donald Trump's contribution to this mark of the beast, you are part of the problem. The mark of the beast we face under Joe Biden and Donald Trump is, listen to me, is no different from the mark of the beast our forebears faced under King George. And before him, there was Napoleon Bonaparte, Alexander, Attila the Hun, Mahmud of Ghazni, Genghis Khan, ad infinitum. Tyranny is tyranny. It can take many forms, many shapes, many sizes, many titles, many names, many definitions. Bottom line, it's still the abrogation of liberty and the exaltation of totalitarianism. They've faced this forever. Throughout the centuries of history, men have faced this beast. Today, radio preachers, TV preachers, Christian broadcasters, authors, keep talking about the mark of the beast as referred to in Revelation. The mark of the beast from Revelation. Why do they do this? If you have watched the first two messages in my prophecy series, you know why they do this. They do this because they are futurists. I explained this in great detail in the very first message that I brought in the prophecy series, and again elaborated in the second message. They are futurists. They interpret everything from a self-centered perspective and B, from a futurist mentality. So everything in the future, including the things that they see as being harmful or draconian, they automatically say, this is the mark of the beast from Revelation. When we get further into our prophecy series, we're going to talk in great detail about the beasts of Revelation and Antichrist and all of that. But their futurist perception of prophecy creates all of this hysteria that people love to promote and call it, this is the mark of the beast. This is the mark of the beast. I said from day number one that the entire COVID narrative was a mark of the beast. I said that from day number one, a mark of the beast. And that the beast is not an individual. It is a system. We are fighting a system, a beastly system. This is a mark of the beast. Tell me, those of you who say that the COVID shot is the mark of the beast of Revelation. Okay, if you got a mark of the beast, you got a beast. Who's the beast? Come on, tell me, who's the beast? Who is it? Bill Gates? Anthony Fauci? Joe Biden? Who is the beast? The truth is, they're all beasts. Plural. They're all beasts. They are all promoters, disciples of a beastly antichrist system. The beast? Futurist. When I was a kid, when I was a little kid, you know, John Kennedy was the first Catholic president. in U.S. history. You knew that, right? Everybody knew that. So we went all the way from George Washington to 1960. When was he elected? 60? Am I right? All right, so from George Washington to 1960, before America had a Catholic president. And I'm a little guy now. I'm just hearing things. But the talk among the adults in 1960 was John Kennedy was the Antichrist. And if any of you have lived as long as I have, when you were a little squirt, you heard those same things. John Kennedy was the Antichrist. Well, flash. John Kennedy wasn't the Antichrist. How many people have given the title of the Antichrist to this president or that monarch or that would-be tyrant? I could sit here for a long time and list the names of people in history that at one time or another were said to be the Antichrist. Now, all of them were probably antichrists, plural. And how many times have I talked about this? Antichrists, plural. John, you have heard that antichrist, singular, should come, but now even are there already many antichrists. Antichrists are many. So where's your antichrist? Where's your false prophet? Who is that? When did the 7-year tribulation start? I've heard some radio preachers say, well, the tribulation started in 2017. Okay, this is 21. 18, 19, 20, 21. So now we're 4 years into the tribulation. So the tribulation is 7 years. So we got 3 more years. And then whenever we go through the 3 years, then you're obviously going to know that the tribulation didn't start in 2017. Well, it started in 2020. Well, it started in 2021. Okay? You're just creating dates out of thin air to accommodate your personal interpretation so as to make you look like a big shot because you know all this secret stuff that other people don't know. You are nothing but a proud, arrogant, sensationalizer manipulating and confusing people for your own personal profit. Where's your global war on Israel? Where is your rebuilt Jewish temple? If this is the mark of the beast, then where's the rest of it? They pull this stuff out of Revelation like going to a store and picking up a little bit of candy here, a little bit of fruit here, a little bit of vegetables here. They just pick and pick and pick whatever they want to fit their personal agenda. You can't have it all. I mean, you can't have one of it without the rest of it. So where is it? Where's your 7-year tribulation? Where's your global war on Israel? Where's your rebuilt Jewish temple? Where's your false prophet? Where's your antichrist? According to futurist interpretation of Revelation, there cannot be a mark of the beast without a beast. There cannot be a beast without a false prophet. There cannot be a beast and false prophet without a 7-year tribulation, a rebuilt Jewish temple, a global war on Israel. So when did it all start? Who is it? Here is the truth. These charlatans are not interested in Bible prophecy. They are not interested in Bible truth. They're not interested in the truth of the Word of God relating to Israel. They are not interested in the Bible truth of Daniel's messianic prophecy. They are not interested in the truth of the New Covenant. They are sensationalizing opportunists who are interested in milking profits out of people's ignorance and fear. People are so ignorant about the book of Revelation, they'll believe just about anything. They're so ignorant. And everything is all future. Because of, as I've said in the first message, because of the adaptation of the Scofield Reference Bible and its influence upon the seminaries, the colleges, and eventually the churches, and then the radio broadcasts and the TV broadcasts, etc., promoting this Israel-based prophecy doctrines, people have over these years become totally mesmerized by futuristic prophecy. And whenever the prophecy comes and goes and it doesn't happen, whoops, that wasn't it. Do they rethink, reevaluate their understanding of Scripture that maybe they have been mistaken in the way they interpret the revelation? Could it be possible that the presupposition they have about a prophet, about an Israel-based prophetic doctrine as being valid in the interpretation of Scripture, maybe I need to evaluate that, restudy? No! They just wait for the next sensational thing or person to come along, and then bingo, they recreate it all over again using new names and new circumstances. That's not Bible! These people are sensationalizing opportunists who are interested in milking profits. People love spreading fear. You listen to the average patriot radio show, podcast, TV broadcast, it's fear-based from beginning to end. Fear, 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 fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You ought, if you get 5 minutes into a broadcast and it's nothing but fear, 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 turn it off. It's not of God. The Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but people love spreading fear. It's not just Anthony Fauci and the Democrats in Washington that love spreading fear. There's a lot of Christian patriots who love spreading fear. People love spreading fear, and believe it or not, people love being afraid. You say, whoa, Pastor Chuck, wait a minute. What? People love being afraid? Did you misspeak? No, not this time. People love being afraid. How else do you explain why so many people pay so much money to go watch horror films? Some of the biggest blockbuster movies in movie history have been horror flicks, slasher movies. The more blood and gore, the more people like it. The scarier, the better it is. Tell me that people don't like being afraid. They love responding to fear. They love the adrenaline of fear. They love the promotion of fear and the way they react to fear. People eat it up. Their world is going to end tomorrow. Sky is falling. Fear. It's everywhere we go. Chicken Little has multiplied himself. Somehow, he's reproduced himself through some magical formula. And now, he's on every radio station and every television station, and he's all over the news. Fear, fear. It's the end. It's all over. 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 These Christian patriots, so-called, who continue to foment fear in the hearts and the minds of their listeners, they may not do it on purpose. They may not understand what they're doing, but they are playing right into the Antichrist beastly system, because fear is the catalyst by which the wicked one enslaves us. We who have a microphone and a camera and an outlet and speak to people in mass, we should be giving our people courage and faith and truth and love, not fear and hopelessness. The devil uses these sensationalist fearmongers to promote confusion. People get confused real quickly because they don't know truth very well. So they get confused. The devil loves it when we're confused. Number two, it gives pride to these people that are putting out all this fear-mongering and all this paranoia and hysteria. They have power. They have knowledge and insight that nobody else has. I'm giving you the truth. I know this. And if anybody doesn't know what I know, they're bad. Elevates pride. You listen to these people. They come in. Some of them will come in every once in a while. They'll walk into Liberty Fellowship. I can't teach them anything. They really don't want to be taught. They want to come in and they want to set me straight. They want to set you straight. They want to come in and they want to let everybody know that they know more than that pastor. I know more than you do. Pride is the very first sin that God hates. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination. And number one, a proud look. Pride is the opposite of thankfulness. Pride is the opposite of humility. Pride is the opposite of Christ-likeness. Pride is of the devil. Exalts himself above God, above all that is called holy. Satan is the proudest creature in the universe, and Satan creates and uses proud human beings to fulfill his work. These people are lifted up with such arrogance and pride. And then thirdly, discord. They cause discord among the body of Christ big time. They cause Christian people who otherwise would be sensitive to truth, now they become brainwashed in all of this fear, paranoia, etc., that now then they become divisive themselves. And if you are not as fear-mongering and as paranoid and as hysterical as they are, then you're not spiritual. You can't can't be a spiritual person. You may not even be a Christian. And so now they become an enemy to the body of Christ in the way that they sow discord. I mean, this is all a tool of Satan to keep the church from being the powerful, positive, life-giving, hope-giving, love-giving people that God would have us to be, so that we can actually win the world and reach the world with Christ. May God give us his discernment to be able to identify the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. I caution you at Liberty Fellowship, some of you are watching some of these guys. You're listening to some of these guys. And they are exactly where I'm saying they are. It's okay to listen to them to a point if you understand what you're hearing. They will mix in just enough truth to bring in truth seekers. Just enough truth to be able to dilute the truth with their fanaticism, so that the truth that you have will not be what it should be in terms of the results of knowing truth. Because that truth has been diluted, it's been dissected. It's not the powerful force in your life that it could be. Just about every error, every preacher of error, even the cults, they have just enough truth to suck people into their web of deceit. Just enough truth to confuse and distort and dissect and diffuse that which should be in our lives. Just enough truth. It's not enough that we get truth in bits and pieces. We should want to know the whole truth of God, the whole counsel of God. Can I get an amen on that? Not draw out one little bit here and one little bit here and one little bit over here and then make some big gobbledygook pot pie out of it. No. All the Word of God. When you have all the Word of God, everything fits, including prophecy. It fits. I'll go quickly from this point onward. Number two, we need a thankful vision of the present. What difference does it make if truth is overcome by Islam or Romanism or Judaism or communism or fascism or secular humanism or atheism? What difference does it make if truth is overcome by any of those errors? What difference does it make? I mean, really, think about it. Ask yourself, what difference does it make? Islam is the great enemy. Romanism is the great enemy. Judaism is the great enemy. Communism is the great enemy. Fascism is the great enemy. Secular humanism is the great enemy. Atheism is the great enemy. They're all enemies. What difference does it make if one or the other prevails? What difference does it make? The problem is not the presence of error. The problem is the absence of truth. Truth conquers all of it. Truth conquers Islam, Romanism, Judaism, communism, fascism, secular humanism, or atheism. Truth conquers all. We need truth seekers. truth lovers, and truth tellers. For the most part, America lies in the midst of perpetual deception. This is especially true regarding the doctrines of prophecy. The futuristic philosophies of prophecy, of futuristic prophecy, have birthed the problems that we're having right now in government. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, the problems we face in government are directly related to the erroneous, fallacious philosophies of futuristic prophetic interpretation. We wouldn't have a problem in the Middle East today if the preachers of America were not largely futurists. They have produced congressmen, senators, and presidents who have adopted the devilish, futuristic, prophetic nonsense of Schofield and Darby and the others, and they've implemented into foreign policy and governmental policy at home. The lack of truth in the pulpits of America have created the Joe Bidens of this world. Preachers, stop blaming Biden. Look yourself in the mirror and ask, what kind of a truth teller am I? We need to recognize the truth when we hear it and have a thankful heart for the truth. Now, if I'm right, and I believe with all my heart I am, that God is removing truth tellers from our country because the people have rejected the truth, then whenever we hear the truth, we need to have a thankful, appreciative heart for the truth. You want the truth to continue, then you support the truth. You promote the truth. You assist and help the truth. Oh, God bless you, Chuck. I'm glad you're out there, man. I'm glad you're preaching the truth. God bless you, man. Will you come alongside and help us? Will you stand with us? Oh, man, no, I don't believe in that. No, man. You know, I don't get out much. You know, the feds might get my license plate in the parking lot at the Hilton if I go over there. You know, I'm just looking out for myself, man. I'd be glad to support you, no man, but I'm saving up, man. I'm building up. I'm buying guns and beans. I'm getting ready, man. But I'm glad you're out there, Chuck. God bless you, man. I'm for you. I'm glad you're there. How long would I be here if everybody was like him? How long would any truth teller be there if everybody was like him? Oh, man, you know, I got a social life, too. Man, I got to get out once in a while, shake a leg. I got to have some fun once in a while, man. You got to, you know, Saturday night only comes once a week. You know, Sunday, man, I'm Sunday morning, I'm kind of wiped out. It's the only day I've got. I've got to relax. I got to go out in the garage and do some reloading. Well, yeah, man, but I know it's cool. That's cool. That's good. We don't start till 2:00 in the afternoon. I mean, it's almost dark in Montana in December whenever we start church. 2:00 in the afternoon. Oh, yeah, I know, man. I know, man. I know, but I'm not really up. I'm not really awake by then. You know, you can talk about how much you appreciate truth all you want. But until you come side by side and stand with the truth tellers and pay your way and part of being part of the truth and helping the truth to go forward, until you do that, you're just blowing smoke. We need to recognize the truth when we hear it, have a thankful heart for the truth, and help the truth. And if it costs us something for the appreciation and adherence to truth, rejoice. People all over the world are losing their jobs. And some of them are losing much more than that. Can you imagine what was going through the minds of the Roman soldiers when they were crucifying Jesus, when they put the nails in his hands and his feet? I'm just following orders. Hello? I'm just following orders. It's my job. Well, I got to feed my family. I can't, if I don't do this, I'll lose my job. I got to feed my family. Can you imagine all the things that people have used in their minds throughout the centuries to excuse themselves for all of the evil they have participated in? Well, this is what my government expects. If I don't go along with it, I don't know. Our founders sacrificed a whole lot more than a job to bequeath to us this blessed land. And then you have the audacity to say, well, I don't know. Got to weigh this very carefully. I might risk something. If you're not willing to risk something for truth, you don't amount to a hill of beans. You're worthless. Don't even talk about being a truth lover. Don't even talk about being a Christian, for that matter. Listen to what the Bible says. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. That's 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. When God gives us the opportunity to suffer loss of some kind for truth, for righteousness, we should rejoice that God found us worthy to suffer for his name's sake. We have suffered nothing to the degree that our Lord suffered on that cross for your sins and for mine. Don't talk to me about what you've lost. What did Jesus do to save our souls from a devil's hell? And we can't risk anything for him? We need to have a thankful vision for the future. When I look ahead, you know what I see? God. I see God. When I look ahead, I see a revival of liberty. Why? Because of what I see in the newspaper? Are you kidding? Because what I hear from the mouths of so-called patriots? No, not in your life. When I look ahead, I see a revival of liberty. Why? Because I see God. When I look ahead, I see a blessed people. Why? Because I see God. When I look ahead, I see a fruitful land. Why? Because I see God. You think God has gone into hibernation, ladies and gentlemen? Really, you think God's on vacation? Don't call me. I'll be gone for the next 200 years. I'm on vacation. You think God is blind to everything that's going on? Do you think God is blind whenever you are required to stand up for what is right in the midst of everybody who says they want to do wrong, and then you have to pay a price? Maybe lose your job. Maybe lose your house. Maybe lose your lifestyle. Maybe you sacrifice something dear to you on the altar of liberty and the truth of God. You think God doesn't see that? Think God is blind? God is God. Is God is God. All of the power of this earth are nothing compared to the power of our God. God can and will do what God wills and determines to do according to His time, according to His wisdom. God is going to prevail. The purveyors of sin and wickedness are going to lose. The devil is on the losing side, and all of the people who follow him are on the losing side. People that follow Christ are on the winning side. Our God reigns. Never forget it. 1 Corinthians 9:9-10, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Or saith he altogether, for our sakes, no doubt this is written, He that ploweth, plows in the work, should plow in hope. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. When we're out there fighting, don't have the attitude that you're fighting as a defeated man or a defeated woman. Don't approach these government bureaucracies and these government officials that are doing wrong blatantly, and you go to stand for what is right and true. Don't you go with a defeatist attitude, like somehow or another you're looking up at them. They're so important. They're so powerful. There's nothing we can do except, well, the best we can do, you know, is just do whatever we can and you know, just try to say something that, you know, I know they're not going to do anything I say, but at least I'm going to say it. Are you kidding me? We are the sons and the daughters of Jehovah God. We will reign with Christ forever and ever. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lift up your heads. Stick out your chest. Hold back your shoulders and preach the truth with courage and confidence. If we're not plowing in hope, we're not plowing. We're just playing. The farmer goes out to plow the field. He expects that there's going to be a harvest for his labor. God will give us the harvest we need in his time. Don't you mistake anything about that. God will bring his harvest to fruition. I have a hope. I have hope that people will come to love what they now despise. And many people are already starting to do that. I have hope that people will embrace what they now reject. I have hope that people will resist what they now accept. I have hope that people will believe what they now dismiss. Why? I see God. I'm not a fan of the Kennedys in general, although I do appreciate Robert Kennedy Jr. and the bold, courageous stand right now that he's making in defense of human life in this country. But John Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, I'm not a fan of their politics at all. But Bobby Kennedy said something that I just love. He said, "Some men see things as they are and say why. I dream of things that never were and say why not." Why not? Be thankful for the vision, truth preaching, given to us by God. The vision of a Savior crucified and risen for us. Hallelujah. He died for your sins and mine, rose from the dead, ever liveth at the right hand of God the Father. The vision of a holy word of God whereby God speaks to us through his word. Be very careful, my friends, Liberty Fellowship folks, those of you online. Be careful of those who always talk about prophetic dreams and visions. God told me this, God told me that, God showed me this, God showed me that. Every other breath, God this, God showed this, God gave this. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, visions, dreams of the prophets, the apostles, has in times past spake to us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Remember, Jesus is the Word of God, John chapter 1. Jesus has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is the Word of God. And the Scriptures are the written Word of God. God speaks to us through his Word. Be very careful about these people who are always claiming to have a person. God came to me, Kenneth Copeland. God came to me. I can't, I wouldn't try to recreate his look because his look is demonic. Eyes. God came to me yesterday, told me. Some of these preachers, more than one, are even claiming to have died and gone to heaven, as did the Apostle Paul, and then God sent him back with this revelation. Have you heard him? I have. They're claiming a death experience, resurrected to heaven. God gave them a vision, and they came back. Well, aren't you special? Woohoo! Can I touch the hem of your garment? You remember whenever Paul did die and went to heaven? And God restored him to life? Paul said, he showed me things that I was not allowed to utter. What the Lord showed me in heaven, I can't tell you. Oh, but the TV evangelist can and will. And they're flying Lear jets all over the world with homes all over the world, mansions. Well, they need to enjoy them now because that's the only mansion they're ever going to have. Phony reprobates. Be very cautious. Here is how God speaks to us. Right here. Do you want God to speak to you? Do you want God to speak to you? Nod your head. You want God to speak to you? When's the last time you read His Word? If you want God to speak to you, you read what He said in His Word. And He will speak to you. And I will say, this may sound superfluous, but be very cautious of those who maintain a rabid fascination with Donald Trump. No, I'm serious. We got a lot of these Christian podcasters that are fanatical loyalists to Donald Trump. That should be a warning sign to any spirit-filled Christian that something is amiss. I mean, it's one thing to have voted for the guy when he ran for president. Okay, that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. But now, after all this time and all this, we wouldn't have a COVID narrative at all had it not been for Donald Trump. Hello, you remember that? But these people are still obsessed with Donald Trump. I'm telling you, be careful about these guys. The truth is the truth is the truth. And whenever people begin to worship men to the point of overlooking falsehood for the sake of the man, there's something wrong with that. It's one thing to appreciate a man for the good he's done. It's another thing to love the man and worship the man, overlooking all of the evil that he's done. That's two different things altogether. The futurist interpretation of prophecy is devilish and dangerous. We'll be saying more about that as we get into our prophecy series further. Our vision is one of a fearless, truthful preaching of God's holy word. When you come to Liberty Fellowship, this is what you're going to hear. You're going to hear, thus saith the Lord. We take the word of God and we apply it to what's happening around us, but it's the word of God that is preached. The exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, absent the sensational, exaggerated, self-serving charlatans who use the scriptures for their own personal profit. Where there is no vision, where there is no truth preaching, the people perish. No truer words were ever spoken. On this Thanksgiving week, how thankful we must be that God has still seen fit to have allowed truth tellers to grace our land. And though the vast majority of people have rejected and neglected them, and they pastor small congregations, and they're mostly overlooked and yea despised by the crowds, nevertheless, the presence of every truth teller in this country is a sign that God has not yet abandoned America. And we should be thankful for the truth tellers of His word in our land. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer.